name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From the text in Luke 2, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The song, The 12 Days of Christmas, is a comical song detailing which gifts and how many are to be given on the days following Christmas. I'm sure you're very familiar with singing about 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. The point of this song was to count the days after Christmas, leading up to the celebration of Epiphany on January 6th, and it was customary to give gifts throughout these 12 days of Christmas. But today, if you didn't know, is the 40th day of Christmas. It is exactly 40 days after December 25th. I'd like to pause those of you, however, who are aspiring songwriters before you write a song titled The 40 Days of Christmas and subject us to its torturous length. Because first of all, it's important to realize why we are celebrating the 40th day of Christmas here in Epiphany. You see, the number 40 in Hebrew thought is the number of purification. It can also be the number of tempting or testing. For example, when we think about purification, the flood is one example. It lasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and God used it to purify the world of the sinful and unbelieving man. It's no wonder that we remember this washing of the flood in our own baptism, as we remember the washing away of sin. Another example of the number 40 is that it is used often in Solomon's temple. 40 shows up all over the place. The Holy of Holies was 40 cubits long, and the place for ritual washing could hold 40 baths or measures of water. So on this 40th day of Jesus' life, we hear in our text that Joseph and Mary came to the temple for a purification ritual, but they got far more than expected when the man Simeon came and visited them. We will examine these 3 important events in the life of Jesus and in the life of the church: the purification of Mary, the presentation of Jesus, and Simeon's song called the Nunc Dimittis. Our text starts off by explaining briefly the purification ritual of the Jews. And as with the circumcision of Jesus, it can be hard for us to understand some of the rules and some of the laws of the Old Testament believers. One of these laws are the various purity laws that pertain to women when they had just given birth. Hear what Leviticus 12 has to say. If a woman conceives and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying are completed. And when they are completed, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb, a year old, for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or turtle dove for a sin offering. And he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one for the burnt offering and the other for the sin offering. So having given birth, Mary goes to the temple to become clean again and gain entrance into the community. And this is vitally important for the Old Testament saints, with their understanding of clean and unclean. For if you were unclean, think about the lepers. They were not allowed even into the community of the Israelites. And so these sacrifices were important to make one clean. And whether you're clean dictates not only how much interaction in the community you may have, but also how close to God in his temple you may come. It's striking, then, that we cry out at the beginning of our own service in the liturgy of the confession of sins that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We don't deserve to be in the presence of God or in the presence of one another. And we often just breeze through this idea of unclean. Yet we also say in the absolution that we receive purity and forgiveness of these sins from the pastor as from God himself. We may now in purity receive Holy Communion, hear the word of God, and participate in this gathering, the church, because Jesus has made us clean. But now returning to the text, we look at the second major point of this text, the presentation of Jesus. This is the consecration of the firstborn that God instituted in Exodus chapter 13, which describes the aftermath of the 10th plague of Egypt, in which God killed all of the firstborn in Egypt, sparing only those who were protected by the blood of the Passover lamb. It reads, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine. You shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" And so Jesus, the firstborn of Mary, was consecrated to God. He was the firstborn male. He was consecrated as holy and belonging to God, not just because he was from the very beginning, from the very beginning of time, eternal Son of God, but also here and now in his own flesh is he holy to God. And so he, as the firstborn of God and of Mary, took the place of every firstborn male through this redemption ritual. Mary and Joseph had to buy him back, if you will, had to redeem him from God, that he, Jesus, might buy us back from sin and death to make us God's possession. And so all of this, both the purification of Mary and the presentation and redemption of Jesus, were done to fulfill the ceremonial law of the Old Testament. Mary and Joseph underwent these sacrifices and this purification and the presentation to actively fulfill the ancient law, not knowing that one day Jesus would be the one to abolish this by his own death and resurrection. Jesus, of course, was exempt from these laws because he was sinless and true God, but he willingly submitted to the demands of the law to redeem us who are under the law. So now the ceremonial law no longer applies to us. No more sacrifices, no more purification rituals, and no more dietary laws. But these all pointed to the greater realities that we have in the church, in baptism, in absolution, and in Holy Communion. And so we no longer have these ceremonial laws of the purification or presentation, but the moral law, we must remember, still applies to us as it is summed up in the Ten Commandments, showing us our sin and our need for a Savior. So when Mary and Joseph had finished their sacrifices, a man approached them. Our text describes him as devout and righteous. The Holy Spirit was with him and told him that he would not see death until he had seen the promised Messiah, the Christ. What a promise! This man lived every day with the expectation that he would, with his own eyes, see his Savior. Now, we don't know his age, but we presume him to be elderly, near the end of his life, yet waiting patiently on the Lord. He was, I'm sure, asking the question every day, who will it be and when? What a good example he is to us for patience, knowing that in this life we too wait patiently for the day when we will see face to face our Savior. What a blessing then for Simeon to see the baby Jesus, his Savior, and to look upon the salvation of the Jews and the Gentiles. He blessed God and said those words which are very familiar to us. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Simeon is, on the one hand, thanking God and also prophesying. He thanks God for allowing him to see his salvation, and he asks to depart this life with a piece of this knowledge. He has been comforted and is ready to die in peace when God wills it. His patience is a testament to the believers of the Old Testament who waited thousands of years for their promised Messiah. And here Simeon is, seeing the fulfillment of all these promises, all these prophecies, and all the scriptures that he had read and known. This Jesus in his arms is a Savior for all people. Simeon sees that this baby is a light for the revelation of the Gentiles. This echoes brilliantly with the theme of light in Epiphany. We, as Gentiles, live now in the light of this Christ. The baby Jesus has also come for the glory to the people of Israel. He would be glorified not only in his miracles, in his transfiguration, in his preaching and teaching, but ultimately on the cross and in his resurrection, where he would die and rise again for our salvation. And even though this gospel is offensive to some, nevertheless, this does not stop us from spreading the gospel and telling others about Jesus. Many today believe in Jesus and find peace in him, a peace which the world cannot give. And so Simeon's song is also our song as we receive this peace of God. It is one which we are very familiar with, for we sing it after receiving from Holy Communion. It's called the Nunc Dimittis, which means, now you send us away, or now let us, thou art your servant, depart in peace. This Nunc Dimittis, which we sing, we'll sing very soon, happens after Holy Communion, and it is very fitting that it happens after Holy Communion. Just like Simeon held the baby Jesus in his arms and saw him with his eyes, we too have the opportunity in the Holy Supper to see our Savior, to eat of his body, and to drink of his blood. This is where salvation is given for you. This is where peace is offered and eternal life is promised. And you, like Simeon, can sing this song as he did, knowing that you have seen and tasted God, and can depart this life at any moment as God wills it, for his peace is with you. For your eyes have seen the salvation of God that has been prepared before you and before all peoples. Having received the body and blood of Jesus, it is as if we could say, Lord, if you would call me home to heaven, it's okay. I've seen your salvation. I've tasted your life. My sins are forgiven. My death is destroyed. I have nothing to fear. And yet, we wait. We wait like Simeon waited. We receive, certainly at church, our very salvation and receive it regularly. But we wait for the last day, either the last day of our life, when we will be called to heaven to see Jesus face to face, or in the last day of the world, called Judgment Day, when Christ will come with the sound of a trumpet to bring us to him. So finally, let us take comfort every time we receive the Lord's Supper and every time we sing the Nunc Dimittis. We, as Simeon, see our salvation with our very eyes, and we also receive it with our mouths. For as we sing in Simeon's song, Jesus is our salvation, our light, and our glory. He may have just been a babe when he came into the temple at 40 days old, but even then, he was working out our salvation by fulfilling the ceremonial law. And so, let us joyfully celebrate this the 40th day of Christmas in Epiphany, remembering the purification of Mary, the presentation of Jesus, and the patience of Simeon. Our sermon hymn put it so well. Jesus, by your presentation, when they blessed you, weak and poor, make us see your great salvation, seal us with your promise sure, and present us in your glory to your Father, cleansed and pure. The peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.